If you could, please open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, in high school, before every football game, I would always get real nervous. And there was a lot of times where I would just throw up almost before every game. If I didn't throw up, I didn't have a good game. I was never the best, but I enjoyed playing. And a part of it was playing with the other guys. The closest feeling I think I can get to before that was every time I go to open up God's Word. And the way I see our church, it's the same thing as taking that field with the rest of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going out there and we're giving it our all. And we have a way of going back to the temporal. So I thought back through this year. And then I begin to think to next year and my prayer really for our church. Another thought is there's not many of us, so we can't do a whole bunch, right? Let me remind you that it was Christ by himself, and then it was 12 men. And through those 12 men, the gospel spread to the world. So it's not numbers that Christ is looking for. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." That verse really stuck out a lot to me. It might be one you would like to underline. Because it says, take hold. Lay with your hands. Seize it. Take hold of the eternal life to which we were all called. What does that look like in our lives? What is that? How does that apply to us as everyday Christians? The thought is, well, he's writing to Timothy, a pastor, and so maybe that's for him. But how does this word of God begin to touch our hearts? How do we apply it? The eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. What does that look like? We've been going through this book in our young adults class, and we finished it on Wednesday night. And I believe in 11, he tells us. He says, "But flee from these things, you man of God." What things? You can go back through chapter 6 up to 1 through 10. Pride, elevating ourselves, different doctrine, the love of money. He says, "You man of God, and pursue, seek after eagerly, endeavor to acquire, pursue righteousness and godliness." What does that look like in our lives today? If I could share with you what it's going to look like, how do we apply it? Righteousness and godliness. That we don't do what we do for man or to elevate ourselves, but that we do it because we love God. We're thankful for what he has done in our lives. We realize that he's called us out of darkness to be a light in today's world. We're watching generations after generations turn away from God. And we so easily turn to this temporal. And we live our lives every day. In 2 Timothy, it says, "Do not entangle yourselves in everyday affairs." Like the athlete, compete. The hardworking farmer is the first to receive his crops. And it's so easy because the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5 tells us. So there's a current. And it's so easy to fall back into this temporal, to somehow elevate ourselves as men or to somehow look for the accolades of man. But we can't. We have to realize that we do what we do because it's God who sees us. Isn't that Matthew? We don't seek man's accolades. Pursue righteousness and godliness. Faith and love. What does that look like in my life today? Faith and love. Don't love money. That's what that looks like. Verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith." If that love of money is in my life, the wandering away from the faith is coming. It's hand in hand. Because you cannot serve God and manna, because you will love the one and you will despise the other. We have a way of men and fooling ourselves as believers. It's a battle that goes on within us. There's a good test for man to find out if he loves money. Is, are we willing to let go of it? That's the test. If we're willing to not handle it the way God's word tells us to handle it, then we're a lover of money. If we do not listen to the Spirit of God when he tells us, you give that money today for this purpose, well, then we're a lover of money. Because faith and love tell me that it is God who takes care of me, not my money. That's what it tells me. God supplies all my needs. Love tells me not to just think of myself, but to think of others, Philippians 2, 1 Corinthians 13. I don't seek my own. I'm not going to fall back on comfort and convenience, because there's a gospel that needs to go out. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which we were called as Christians. We realize this isn't our home. We have another home, and that's in heaven with our Savior, and that he's going to come back. The eternal, investing in the eternal. Perseverance and gentleness. Pursue these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance and gentleness. What does that look like in my life? Sometimes you're going to get angry, because this old flesh is going to want to fall back to receiving the accolades of man. This old flesh is going to want to fall back to elevating itself and being prideful and looking down on others. You're going to need steadfastness, because he says pursue righteousness and godliness, and righteousness and godliness do not do that. We're going to want to get angry, because we're going to come in and we're going to say, but you don't know how that person treated me. You don't see what they're doing. You're going to need perseverance to pick up this cross and follow him. And the thought is, in that old flesh, we want to fight the way the world fights. And we're not a big church and we're not a rich church. But let me remind you, neither was Christ, because he was born in a manger. God's ways are not our ways. He says it's not about palace, it's not about prestige, it's not about position, and it's not about power. Who do we serve? His riches never run out. It's our hearts he's looking for. And if those 12 disciples could touch the world for the gospel, then why can't we at Family Bible? Where are our hearts? This year is coming to a close. We're preparing for next year. We do not overlook Christmas, because it is the birth of our Savior that we remember. But this year, where is our hearts going to be? Before this year ends out, gentleness. We're going to need it, because we're going to get angry at times, and we're going to say, you don't understand how this person has treated me. But he died for us while we were yet still sinners. He took our stripes. So the next time someone mistreats you, realize to suffer for Christ is an honor, and the Spirit of glory rests upon you when that comes. But instead of becoming angry and praying for God's discipline and God's wrath, we begin to pray, oh Lord, please rescue this man. And may there be an opportunity today that I would have an opportunity to lead this man to you. That is our prayers. And that we may not be many in number, but neither were the disciples. But if we begin to realize that a pursuing godliness, we're going to have to fight this fight of faith. It's different than fighting with these and with this, but it's fighting with this, because we realize we were called for this purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you now, Lord, I pray for our body, that we would take hold of the eternal life to which you've called us to do. And Father, I believe you set this church apart. I feel it in my heart. We're not like others. But Lord, I do believe you have made us different. Because we believe in your power, we believe in your word, and we believe that when we live this way, this is where our rewards come from. Not the accolades of man, not the money in our bank accounts, but Father, it comes from you. So Lord, please begin to focus our hearts today as we desire to remember your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us, Lord. When you sent him, he was born in a manger. It was not palace and prestige and power and position. Lord, it was humble. It was the day of small things. And Lord, you sent us a message. And it's not about the ways of man, but it is about you, Lord. And that you've called us for a purpose, and that is to be lights in this world, to go and make disciples. So Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, please, Father, that we would be honoring to you. And that as this new year starts out, Lord, that Lord, we would glorify you by the way that we live our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
A minute. What is your desire? What is it you hunger for? What is it that you chase after? Do you really give the Lord your heart? Do you really give him your soul? Live for him alone. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are you serving him? It's a tough time these days, not just this season, but this whole time to the end of eternity. It's getting harder and harder for man to serve the Lord fully. Do you give him your heart? Number 8, in your book, let's sing that song. This is my desire. Honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give. Lord, have your way in me, Lord. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Standing for the reading of God's Word. Scripture this morning comes out of the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Do we not all have one Father? Has not God created us? Why do we deal treacherously against his brother, so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, everyone who awakes and answers, or who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts. You may be seated.